Hi there. Thank you for listening to this podcast from AJ Bell. My name is Dan Coatsworth and joining me is Charlene Young. Today we're going to be talking about investing for your children. I think this is a really important one for parents and grandparents. The idea of giving a child a head start in life is fantastic. You know, you might want to save up some money for when they finish school, or, you know, some people think, okay, wouldn't it be fantastic to help your child be able to buy a house, you know, in their 20s? Or even you could start their pension journey at a very early age, put some money aside now, and I'm sure they'll thank you very much later in life if they find that they've had some help with their retirement savings.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. And I think I'll come on to the kind of first of the sort of mainstream accounts that are available for people who want to start investing for children, and that is the Junior ISA. There's actually two flavors of Junior ISA you can have. You could have a cash version or a investment or stocks and shares version. And I'll be talking mainly about the investment version for reasons that will hopefully become clear when we talk about how long you might be investing for your children. So quick first word on Junior ISAs. One common misconception is about who can open and manage one. So the rules are quite strict on this. It must be a parent or a guardian, so whoever has parental responsibility for the child, and they can open and manage the account. But the good news is that once it's open, anybody, for example, grandparents or other relatives or friends, can then pay in money to the account, and that money is treated as a gift. Okay, you can also, if your child had one of the former child trust funds, and transfer that into a Junior ISA. So once they're open, anybody can pay in. Really important to remember, though, that it is a gift into that account for the child. And there's a really generous allowance. It's actually up to £9,000 per tax year. Of course, that's not going to be a possibility or realistic for everybody, but that allowance is there. If you are able to use it. Really important point, and I did mention about kind of investing for the long term, and that might influence your choice of the flavor of account. Whereas with some Junior ISAs, at age 16, the child can sort of start to take control, particularly on the cash side. You cannot withdraw money for that child or from that account until the child is 18. So the money is effectively locked up until they are 18. So it's really important to kind of think about the long term and the potential that investment could potentially bring with that. So yeah, the money cannot be taken out until they turn 18. And when your child does turn, or when the child does turn 18, it's also really important to point out that the account effectively becomes their own. Now, most people will be happy with that, but you might have saved a considerable amount, or invested or built a considerable amount over that time until the child turns 18. So again, just to be aware, the account effectively becomes the child's own, and they can choose to spend that money however they like. Obviously, here we're talking about hopefully either towards university costs or towards getting on the property ladder or something else, potentially traveling, for example. I know that's something my little sister was very keen to do before she went to university. So lots of different goals, but again, just be aware the money that's paid in will be a gift, and the child can't access the account until they turn 18, but when they do, it is effectively their own adult ISA account to do what they wish with.
Now, I've got a teenage daughter, and so we have quite often have discussions about might she want to go to university when she's 18, 19. So I think one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, if we saved up some money to help her, there is an element of trust here. As Charlene was saying, if you put that money into a Junior ISA and you make an agreement to say this money is going to be used for university, you know, as a parent, you cross your fingers and think, okay, please use it for that. Don't use it for a gap year away and, you know, just muck it about and say, you know, going around Asia or something. So I think that, I think as a parent, you definitely want to help your child avoid graduating from university with massive debts. Of course, one way to try and achieve that situation is to help them avoid debts is to invest ahead of the event. So I was looking at this, and I think if you sort of take into account fees for university and accommodation, you could easily be looking at £60,000 to £80,000 across a 3-year course. If we took the midpoint, £70,000, assumed 7.5% annual growth in the value of your investments, and that you get 0.75% a year charges, you should be able to achieve £70,000 by investing £414 a month over 10 years. So I think obviously the key thing there is, if you have a plan, £414 might not be affordable for some people. Others might be able to have it, but it's the 10-year period here to take into consideration. So really emphasizes a point that you need to plan well ahead if you want to make this one of sort of the life goals that you achieve via investing. I think if you invested £200 a month from birth, they could have a pot worth just over £82,000 by the time they turn 18. That's just on the basis of the same rates of growth and the same costs I mentioned earlier. Because not everyone is able to save immediately at birth. Isn't that right, Charlene?
Yeah. I mean, there's some really sort of compelling figures there and talking about different timeframes. But yeah, we're realistic here. You know, the £414 might not be available to, open for everybody. And like you say, not everyone is ready to sort of start saving or investing immediately once their child is born. As a parent, you might still be on parental leave and you might be on lower pay. Or you might be off leave and childcare costs are just consuming all of your spare cash at the moment. And for some people, that's kind of a realistic thing until your children are sort of gearing up to leave even primary school. So you could sort of fast forward a little bit. Perhaps you're in a better position to start saving and investing for your child when they're about 11. And kind of taking Dan's example there of 7.5% annual growth, and then taking off 0.75% a year in charges. So taking that same example of the £200 a month, once they're 11 and once they get to 18, you could still have a pot of over £20,000. By our calculations, it's £21,300. So again, still a significant pot of money to help towards those costs. And I totally take on board what you say, Dan, about kind of having those realistic conversations. And perhaps if it's right for you to start when your child's a little bit older, sort of 10, 11, again, I think there's a really kind of compelling argument to involve your children in that kind of concept of saving. Obviously, when they're that age, it's more about putting money away, save today for tomorrow. And again, children can become more engaged with what's happening with this money that is building up towards their future, whatever that may look like. I perhaps think it's a little bit unfair to assume all our 18-year-olds, who might suddenly have access to their junior ISA accounts will go off and do something that perhaps we wouldn't want with those accounts. And again, I should have probably mentioned a little bit more before, that account at 18, the junior ISA then becomes an adult ISA. So, the child can keep that and manage that investment account as their own ISA with all the kind of tax wrapper lovely benefits that it has there. So your growth on investments and the income will still be wrapped from tax. As we mentioned, the money is legally the child's once they turn 18. But as we've said, we're sort of hoping here towards those kind of common goals. And, if your child wants to go to university, they'll soon see some kind of the cost coming through. That's all live in hope that it'll be used for sensible purposes.
Now, we talked about junior ISAs, but there's actually another product, if you want to consider it, is the junior SIP, which is a self-invested personal pension. In the 2023-24 tax year, there was an allowance of £3,600 that you could put money in here. And the way that would work would be that you could contribute up to £2,880 a year. And then the government adds on £720 basic rate tax relief. So that takes it up to £3,600. Now, I think most people, when they're saving for their children, will probably think more about sort of having access when they're a young adult. So the idea, you put money in when they're a child, and then as soon as they become an adult, perhaps they can start to use that money you invested. But I think there are sort of some people who are in a lucky situation that they're thinking much longer term. And so they look at the junior SIP as a way to help people get ahead with their retirement savings. So that's everything from this episode talking about investing for your children. I hope you found it useful. Please do listen to our other podcasts on education topics. Thank you for listening.
Before you go, please remember this podcast is for educational purposes, and the views expressed don't necessarily reflect those of AJ Bell. The podcast isn't telling you if a certain investment is suitable or not. Don't forget that the value of investments can change, and you can lose money as well as make it. It's also important to remember that how you're taxed will depend on your individual circumstances, and rules can change. The way an investment performed in the past may not be the same as how it behaves in the future. If you want help, go see a qualified financial advisor.